Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Hello, darling. How are you?
Good. You know, it's funny. I was all logged on, ready to call in, and then it kind of blew me off the blog talk. I mean, I had it set up half an hour early, and then, like, I go, and it, like, blows off. I'm like, oh, man. You know, it's kind of temperamental, this site. If you sign on too early, it doesn't work, you know.
I know. Well, what was kind of funny was that I was going on, you know, I went on, obviously, a little bit earlier just so that I didn't miss my cue this week and so that I was not late, and everything was all good, and I guess, I don't know if I just did it too early, but what wound up happening was I'm looking and, like, so I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, well, you know, where is everybody? I'm like, do we even have a show? And then I refreshed it. And when I refreshed it, all of a sudden all the callers came up. You came up. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because here I am with, like, you know, 34 seconds. And I'm like, there's no Cindy. I'm like, it's okay if there's no me, but we need a Cindy.
Well, no, it's so funny. You know, Cindy was here, but Cindy got blown off. So,
yeah, she got
blown. That's because I, you know, signed on too early. I don't know. What can I tell you?
Oh,
I mean, here I'm thinking, okay, everything's good, but it's always one thing or another. But we're
mm-hmm.
here. Somehow it all works out. And the other night at the South Country Tavern, it was a very nice evening with such a great group at the gallery reading. And I could see Jean's listening, and I want to thank her so much for coming. And it was very nice to see some of my clients' faces there. And we had
mm-hmm.
a very good and entertaining and enlightening evening. And it was really a nice group, which is always important.
Awesome.
And, of course, Andrew showed up, which was great.
I love
it. Always like when Andrew's around, you know. And, you know, he's so great. And he certainly is a big fan of our radio show as well. So we just love him. And, oh, it's cold out again. Did you notice?
Yes, I did. Well, it was beautiful this afternoon. Then all of a sudden I got out of one of the stores that I was in. I was like, ooh, what happened?
Right. Actually, these have been the days where there's been like 12 different weather systems in a day. It's cloudy. Sometimes it rains, then it's sunny, then it's warm, then it's cold, then it's
mm-hmm.
breezy, then it's not. You know, I've never seen so much changes, you know, in one day. But we're waiting for spring. I would like the spring now.
I'm excited about spring now. I know I was very, very resistant to spring, but I'm excited about spring now because I found out that one of the mountains that I love to go to actually has a lot of spring and summer activities. So me and Lisa are now planning on going still to the mountains in the summertime, but now it's going to be to go like mountain biking on the slopes that we normally snowboard down. And like they've got a bunch of other cool stuff through the woods. So it's going to be cool. So I'm ready to embrace spring. So I will stop jinxing everybody with my prayer for snow weather.
Right, exactly. And I'm so glad that we have our show tonight because I always look forward to Thursday nights and kind of hearing from people we never heard from, some we that are regular caller ins, and it's always a continuing saga of interesting things. So we do have a lot of listeners tonight, and those of you who would like to talk to us, could Nicole describe what they must do if they want to
Yes, yes. If you wish to speak to us tonight, please press the number 1 so that I get a lovely alert that tells me that I need to pick up and screen your call. So just hit that number 1, and then I will pull you into the chat room, and we can have a little talk, and we can get you on the air tonight so that you can ask Cindy whatever's on your mind.
Perfect. Now, we do have some one person who's already pressed 1, so we're going to pick that up. It's the 3792. They've been waiting about almost 9 minutes, so they must have something to say since they logged in probably way before I was logged on.
Yeah, well, especially since you got booted. So, yeah. But, okay, so as usual, guys, I do not get to screen the first caller of the night, so hopefully we're getting somebody normal that is not going to hijack our show. I know that we are very, very, I think we're traumatized by the one time that happened, so we have to say
that. And that was probably nine years ago. I think we got to get over it.
It was like 9 years ago. It doesn't matter, though. It was still very traumatizing. It was scary. So here we go. Just so that you know that we're speaking about you, the last 4 digits of your number are 3792. And let's see who we are speaking to. Hello, 3792. You are on the air.
Hi, hello.
Yep, we can hear you.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Don't be shocked. We want to hear you.
No, I listened all last week. I think the lady who does the screening was out.
Oh.
And I was on the phone the whole time. So I wasn't expecting.
You see, it's your lucky day. You like won the radio lotto here. I got a very good vibe off of that numbers jumping through too. So I was like, now see, it was very nice. You waited and you listened, and now you're rewarded today. So
thank you so much. Well,
and what's your first name?
My name is Keisha.
Okay, Keisha. Now, where are you? You calling from Queens or something?
New York. New York.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay, so you must have something on your mind to call in again, so why don't you just share with what you have going on, and we'll try to help you as best we can.
Okay, so I've been looking for a job for a while, and I'm trying to attract, I guess, kind of like a permanent job or a long-time permanent that pays me more than enough money so I can take care of myself. And I'm also kind of like starting a business. So I'm just wondering, how can I attract it, or do I have a block, or like what's going on with me?
The first card that came up was the Queen of Pentacles. You're supposed to definitely have a really nice full-time job coming. You got the Justice card too. It's time for that to happen and to manifest. Sometimes when God doesn't bring us abundance, we have to examine, like, what might I be doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to ask you, in the past, have you tended to help people a lot, always, like, rescue them or give them money and bail them out?
Yes, yes.
Okay, because you asked me what the block is,
and
your spirit guides jumped right in to tell her, Cindy, you got to tell her the Kardashian story. Okay, now notice how the Kardashians have a gazillion dollars. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't give a stray dog a bone, okay? If you had that kind of money, you'd be helping and bailing out all kinds of people that are not truly helping themselves or doing what they're supposed to do. So God has sort of disempowered you. He's taken away your ability to really be able to help people too much because you don't have it to help them right now. And God is just telling you, I'd like to give you a gazillion dollars. I'd like to make your life really easy, but you got to promise God that I don't care if you make $1 million this year. It's not up to you to bail everybody out who's screwing up, who's not working, who's not doing what they're supposed to do. Okay, because you know if you got $1 million tomorrow, you'd be like, oh, so you can't find work. You've never worked and you're 60, but that's okay. Here's $20,000. Oh, you're on heroin again. Oh, it's not your fault. Here's $100,000 for rehab, and don't worry about it. I want you to know that God wants you to help those who help themselves. It's not your job to bail out everybody because you know that's you.
Yes.
You're the rescuer.
I am, but you know what? I don't. It's like I would give it to everybody, but putting me last. And I recently did the same thing. I really didn't have it, and I gave to somebody and put what I needed to get last. And then once I lost the position I had, that person was on their feet, and they didn't even care about what I was going through.
Now, that's what how Jesus teaches. Jesus just said to you, okay, you rescued this person, you gave this person money, and now you feel like you're a victim of this person because they're not helping you, and, you know, you want to scream at them or get mad at them, and you're going to persecute them. It goes around the triangle of rescue, a persecute, a victim.
Okay.
And what Jesus would say to you, notice how when you need help, the unfixables, we call them, the narcissists, okay, it's never their fault. They're not accountable for their behavior. They disappear when we need them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we ask them for help, and older souls don't like to ask for help, but we ask them,
no can do,
and disappear. So what did you learn from that? You learned that you helped somebody who would not help you.
Mm-hmm.
We help people who would help us. We sacrifice our life for people who would do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And what you learn, and God took your job from you, because God is saying, honey, you are ka-chinging up so much negative karma by helping all these people. Because you're interfering with God's alchemy. God can't help these people if you keep helping them. They have to, you know, fend for themselves. So it's opposite of what you might have learned in church because, you know, dogmatic religion, some of the dogma is written by unfixables telling us to keep giving to them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They don't give to us, okay?
Right.
But know that God would like to give you a great job.
Mm-hmm.
He would like your business that you're going to start to make a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to have to learn to tell people, I'm sorry, I wish I could, but I can't. Or, you know, I'm sorry, but I have no money and say in your mind for you. Because it's not your job to help everybody else. I also need you to pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself,
mm-hmm.
and to stop being a martyr and putting
mm-hmm.
yourself in, and a great enabler. You enable everybody. You take,
yep.
you're a great crap taker. You take crap from everybody, and
yes.
you're a donkey person. You normally work your ass off. That's why you have money to help everybody, not because
mm-hmm.
God dumps it in your lap. So this is a year where you're going to stop being the crap taker and the enabler, please.
Yes, I want to stop being a people pleaser.
A people pleaser, because that's what Jesus was talking about when he walked the earth, that the good people were people pleasers, and they were afraid to rock the boat. Sometimes we have to rock the boat. He would tell you to pick your crucifixions, don't go on a cross every day. But sometimes we got to learn to say no. And, you know, we've been brainwashed by
mm-hmm.
organized religion to want everybody to like us. And they don't
yep.
like us when we put ourselves first once in a while. Oh, we say no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So why do we care if those people like us when we don't really like them, by the way? Okay? And you're
right.
laughing. It's so truthful when I point it out to you.
Yeah, once
it's so
I find
fundamentally
out the truth about
simple.
Yeah, once I find out the truth about them, it's like, hey, I don't like that character. I don't want to associate with people like that.
Good. And that's what you're supposed to learn. And also, I would advise you're going to get a nice day job and you're going to build your own business, because what's been channeled to me is self-employed people, the only people that are going to survive in the millennium. That, you know, there's ages in America. When you start getting 50, it's really hard to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you want to be able to build that business. Like, older souls need a day job when they build a business because they like to pay their bills, okay?
Right.
You start seeing your own business, like, it's almost there. It's like 70% there,
uh-huh.
and you're only putting 30% of your effort into it.
Uh-huh.
God would then tell you to take a leap of faith and put 100% in it. And watch that
Got
really
it.
Yields very good money. So money will be here for you.
Okay.
But again, you have to say, okay, God, if I make a lot of money, that doesn't mean I'm going to give it to everybody who asks.
Okay.
It's not your job to save everybody, rescue everybody, bail everybody out who screws up. Okay. And
yes.
we do not get brownie points from God, because when we go to God, we have to. God is going to see Jesus, and God will be sitting there telling you, you know, when you bailed out that brother of yours, well, he didn't learn anything, and we wanted you to walk away so he could have learned something.
Wow.
So
I never thought about it from that perspective.
And that's because the unfixables wrote the rules so you would not see it from that perspective, by the way. But now that I pointed it out, and you learn from that last person, you have to figure out who's your job to help and who's not. And if people are genuinely down on their luck, of course we help them.
Right,
because
there are
people
right.
that have always helped us, and they'll get back on their feet and they'll repay us a million times over, okay?
Yeah.
But the other people,
yeah.
it's always, what have you done for me lately? As soon as you say no to them, they will turn on you, badmouth you,
mm-hmm.
Curse you out and hate you, and they won't remember that you bailed them out for the last 1,000 days.
That is what's going. It's like a whole campaign the whole campaign with different parties involved. And I have this other cousin, and he's really successful. And I thought we and him were really, really close. And I was down. This is another cousin. And I was down, and he told me, you know, if you need anything, sure. I asked him, and it was just, it's been a Kardashian episode. It's been a whole tabloid thing, and I'm, like, really taken back.
Well, this is what I told you, because now you're going to know. He isn't a total unfixable. 3 out of 10 people are total unfixables. They're narcissists who judge others, not accountable for their behaviors, and oftentimes have addictions. He's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He has a good side, he has a bad side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was bullshitting you because he knows you're good to a false person that never asked for help. So he never thought you'd ask him for help, honey.
Right.
You threw him off his game.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. He didn't expect that. So notice now you know who he is.
Yes.
That he's, yesing people to death. And now you realize, yeah, he has plenty of money. He's successful because he doesn't help anybody even or loan anybody. You're a good
person. He doesn't. You're right.
If,
he doesn't.
If you ask to borrow money, he should know you're going to pay it back, okay, because that's you. Older souls pay their bills. They don't mooch.
Mm-hmm.
So he just, now you saw he's not who you thought he was, okay?
Yep.
And
yep.
Once you start realizing who people are, it's a lot easier to live in this world. You're not fixing these people. They know not what they do. You're not changing them. You've always been one of the 30% of good people, but you've been that 20% with blinders on where you thought everybody's good.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, honey, everybody ain't good. If everybody was good, would Jesus have said they're going to crucify me 3 times? He said they were going to kill me, you know, son of a bitches. Okay,
yeah.
He knew he couldn't fix unfixables. We have to realize we're not fixing them either.
Okay.
And, you know, you've got hard lessons to learn. You asked what your blocks were. Your blocks were that God also wanted you to be down on your knees to ask him some help and find out who people are.
Wow.
Sorry, no can do. The people that bullshit you like they will, but they won't. You're starting to see who people are because you're down on your luck.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you're back on top, boy, people will all be back in your life, but that's when you're going to say, mm-mm, nope. Been there, done that, had enough of it. And so this is you have a very good 5-year period opening called the Wheel of Fortune. God would like to give you great abundance. Again, be careful who you help. Pick and choose who you help. And anybody who knows me has got reading for me. I discount plenty of people. I help plenty of people. But I know there's a hardworking, good people, and they deserve to be helped. But there are other people who will tell me they're down on luck and they don't have money. And then I happen to notice they have a $5,000 Chanel pocketbook.
You know? Yep.
Okay, really?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you just, like, loan me that pocketbook until you have your $50 for me, honey? Okay? So realize some people, you know, lie and they lie a lot. Are you starting to see people lie and they lie a lot?
Believe them. Believe that that's what they do. They're liars.
Right. They're liars. And so there's also supposed to be love coming in your life. Do you not have love right now?
No, I don't.
Because the next card that came up is your new career, your new jobs, your new opportunities going to put you in line with some people that you're going to meet a soulmate.
Wow.
So God is not just giving you a job. He's giving you a life. Okay? So if it's taking a little longer to get the job, it's because you're an old soul. Older souls like the devil, they know. And if God gave you a job that wasn't great, you'd still stay at it for 10 years, even though they're taking advantage of you, the donkey person. You know, you're doing the work of 8 people and they're giving the pay of a half a person.
Mm-hmm.
But you stay because you don't like change. So this time God would like to bring a really good job to you. And, you know, love is in the cards too. You haven't always picked the best men in your life. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I'm very aware of that.
Okay, because again, you've been a very good Christian. You've been a very good Jew. You've had a lot of blinders on that all organized religion gives us. Okay, they make us be too good. And they see the good in everybody. Believe everybody tells the truth. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't trust your gut. Something's not rotten. Well, how's that worked for you so far?
It hasn't.
Uh-huh. So my job is to tell you, get your blinders off. See the good, bad, and ugly of people. Stop ignoring red flags. You know, when a man is 40 years old and he's got nothing to show for it, he's got to be some reasons for that. Okay,
right.
Stop feeling like, oh, his ex-wife took all the money. He lost it to Madoff. He lost it here. No, he probably was not working. Maybe he was a drug addict. Maybe he was something else. Don't don't ignore and don't make excuses for abuse, and stop feeling so sorry for people, because that's what good people do. We're too tolerant. We're the fixers. We're going to help everybody. And meanwhile, after a while, we go down like a Titanic with these people.
You're not lying.
How old are you now, by the way?
I'm 40.
Okay, because that's what I thought, because your energy and our cards are reading like a person who's about 40. I want to save you a decade of misery. If you would learn these lessons now, because older souls of your magnitude usually take to 50 to get the blinders off. By then, they're psychologically, emotionally, financially, and spiritually bankrupt. I'm trying to tell you, see the world for what it is. Pray to do its best for everyone, including yourself. Stop being a martyr and an enabler. Take care of you, and bring givers into your life, not takers. You've had way too many takers in your life.
Yes. Well, I want to tell you, believe it or not, the last 10 years have been eye-opener and hell, but I truly learned my lesson. So I feel like I'm a changed woman.
Right, and that's why I'm just trying to reinforce to you. So God doesn't have to bring you 3 more unfixables in your life before you say, oh, there's a lot of these. There are. And if people are not accountable for their behaviors and they're manipulating you, particularly if they're pushing your guilt buttons and making you feel bad, learn the expression, you lost me at the guilt. They're manipulating you.
I like that. You lost me at the guilt.
You lost me at the guilt. The conversation's over. And you could say you've never intentionally hurt anybody in this lifetime. We're probably the last 3, so knock it off with me, okay? Don't push my guilt buttons. It doesn't work with me anymore. It really doesn't. And that tells me they're manipulators, by the way.
Yeah.
And don't make other people's problems your problems, please. And, I say this every week on this show to different people, and I say it to myself because I will fall right back into being a great enabler and great crap taker if I'm not careful. Okay.
Yep. I learned that. I'm trying to focus on me. Let these people, live their own lives. I have learned that.
Right. And learn to love yourself the way you would love your own children. Now, the easiest way to know how to behave in any situation is to say, if someone did this to my child, would I tell them to turn the other cheek? Then it probably isn't a big deal. But
right.
If I would tell them to go sue that son of a bitch, then that's what you got to do.
Right, that's true.
Because we protect people we love. Older souls are mother hens.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody gets hurt under our watch, but we've allowed people to really, really hurt us.
Yep.
And after a while, by the way, older souls are not mad at other people. They're mad at themselves for allowing it.
Yeah, no, that's
true. Why not rob and rape me and take advantage of me if I'm that stupid? Okay.
Right, and if you've seen the signs earlier, but you kind of just, you kind of ignored it because of a title and
Right, and you also just thought, they'll learn, they'll get it. No, not necessarily. Learn that not everybody's you, not everybody's good, not everybody's fixable, not everybody wants to do good on this planet. And I really haven't said that very much on the show, but it's been recently channeled to me. Those 30% of really unfixable people do not want to do good on the planet. They don't necessarily always want to do bad, but if it's bad and it gives them money and they get away with stuff, they'll do it. They just don't care to make the world a better place. They want to make it a better place for themselves, but not for the world. Whereas older souls genuinely like to hope that they're making a dent to make the world a little bit better. That is part of their goal. It's not just about them. But realize most people are not you, okay? To make you feel better about the world, by the way, the 7 out of 10 not-so-great people – get very little spirit guides and angels watching over them. The 30% of genuinely good people get all the guides, spirit guides, angels. And every time these people screw us over, their guides come over to us. So you got a lot of guides on your side. I can tell you've been screwed over a lot.
Yes, I have.
Now that you got all their guides, you got enough. You don't need to be screwed over anymore. You got enough guides to last you from now until your next lifetime. So.
I am done after the rest of my life. I want it to be about me and pleasure and happiness. That's what I want to focus on.
And giving. You giving, people giving. And because we're not here to suffer. We're here to suffer until we learn our lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of your lessons can be loved through can learn through peace, love, and joy, and not through suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So, and true peace comes when we learn to be what Christ's like and cut out people out of our life who are not serving our higher good. And we learn to punish them by cutting them out. Enough is enough. That's your mantra with people. Enough is enough. I had enough. And
I love
you'd
that.
Be surprised when God stops bringing these people into your life. Okay, the only time I get reminded how bad people in the world could be is when I start being Pollyanna and I forget because I have a nice cushy life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then God will say to me, Cindy, check your email. Somebody's trying to hack into your PayPal account. Okay. So
okay.
It isn't people in my immediate world. It could be in Russia trying to rip me off. But there's
okay.
Somebody. Okay. So that will remind. Every time our credit card gets hacked, it's God's reminder to us
mm-hmm.
that not everybody's good in this world.
Yep, I learned my lesson, but this has been such an eye-opener. I wasn't expecting you to say that.
I know. Well, first of all, that's what – it's funny, but when I say it, the bells go off in people's heads. They go, yeah, this makes so much sense. Okay, like maybe I have been seeing the world through rose-colored glasses and blinders, and that's why my life has not been abundant, and that's why my life has been filled with people who hurt me. And, you know, just, and I don't want you jaded. Just trust your gut. Your gut will tell you when people aren't good. That's all you need to rely
right.
on is your gut.
Right.
And if your gut tells you people are good, and also truth always resonates as truth. Like when people give you advice, like turn the other cheek, which is a very nice dogmatic religious thing to say, but you don't feel better when you turn the other cheek and
right.
you don't feel peaceful. You know, that was bad advice. They meant
right.
well. They might have been good people who really believe that, but when you've done the right thing, you feel peaceful inside.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we might feel a little guilty at first because older souls are plagued with a lot of Jewish guilt. They feel bad, okay? You might feel bad.
You know what, that you say Jewish guilt? I always say, I'm not Jewish, but I always say that I'm Jewish because sometimes they pronounce my name Kasha, but I always say when I have kids, I'm going to guilt them like a Jewish mother. I always say that.
Well, you have that kind of guilt, and yes. know that sometimes we have to do things in spite of guilt. You have to look
yeah.
to your intention. If your intention is to leave somebody or cut them out of your life, your intention is self-preservation,
mm-hmm.
self-love, and to teach that person because you can't enable them anymore, you will eventually, within a few days or weeks, that unearned guilt will be processed by the universe. So sometimes we have to do things in spite of unearned guilt because older souls
yeah.
have a lot of guilt.
Yes.
Goes with the territory.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad we got to read you. And please call and let us know when you get this fabulous job and this and love is coming and work on your business.
Thank you so much. I definitely will reach out to you. Thank you so much. You've been such a blessing. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, wasn't she lovely? I liked her so much. She is so lovely. The woman who I hope she listens to the advice that we gave her so her life can be on that right path. Now, if anybody
Absolutely.
Wants to talk to us, they can press one. We have a lot of listeners, but no one's
We have a lot of
pressing
listeners,
one.
And nobody's pressing the number one. I think that they're scared.
Okay. Well, that was very good. I'm glad that we got the last caller because, you know, she was asked if there was a block to her abundance. And, you know, somehow it's hard for people to believe that being too good and too giving would be a block to abundance.
Oh, hell yes.
Like you would think, well, I'm being charitable,
way.
So God's going to be charitable to me. No, not necessarily. It doesn't always work that way. So if you're wondering why abundance isn't coming into your life, examine and think, who am I helping that I'm not supposed to help?
Exactly.
And then you'll be surprised how abundance comes back your way again. It's amazing. It's amazing. And by nature, older souls are givers. And, you know, and we like giving. It actually feels nice. We like giving. But we have to be careful who we give to. We have to make sure people give back to us sometimes, too. So
well, it also has to do with the fact that we have to constantly be aware that helping people is good, and yes, you know, when you go to church, they say to help your brother, this and that, and everything else. But you know what? There is such fault, and when you're helping people to their own detriment, meaning that you are preventing them from learning anything, you're preventing them from getting their own life lessons, you're preventing them from realizing their own karma, you know, because you keep stepping in and they're, you know, they're just not making themselves move forward because they're constantly sitting there with their hand out, then, you know, then you're not doing them a service at that point. That's not helping somebody. That's helping them because it makes you feel good, but in the long run, it's doing more harm. So, you know, there is a very, very fine line between helping somebody, you know, in a righteous way and helping somebody, you know, to their own detriment.
Right. And, you know, you've learned a lot, too, listening to the show over the years, too. It makes it easier.
Yes.
And I hope everybody who listens regularly, sometimes they'll hear my voice saying, stop enabling. This is not your job to do this. Leave them where they fall so that it resonates at the moment when you need it. Because we always, it's very easy to get sucked into things. And also, if you're not sure whether you should help somebody or not, you have to stall a bit and say, I'll get back to you.
Oh, yeah.
And think, because older souls answer, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Sometimes I'll get back to you, and then think about it for a day or two. And you might realize why the answer is no. But once we say, yes, we're going to help people, we're people of our word, and we always go forward and help. And, you know, so think about it before you respond sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You should always do that, though, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like you should always, you know, before you say yes to anything, you know, I think that you should always just take a minute and really think about what it is that you're doing, especially when you're dealing with, because you do find that it's the same people. I keep reaching out, you know, at least that's true for myself. And, you know, I don't get a lot of random people. I usually get a cycle of the same people that all, you know, kind of want to, you know, a piece of whatever it is I can give out. So, you know, in that sense, I think that it's important that especially when you're dealing with people that you're familiar with, you know, people that are constantly, hey, can you help me? Hey, can you help me? Those people, you need at least 24 hours. Maybe
right.
Even 48.
And
I don't know.
Exactly.
You need some time.
Right. And, yes, figure out, you know, the time, what's best for you, if you have the time to do it. Because older souls are the donkey people, and they always seem to find time even when they don't have it. Okay, they're working an 8-hour week and somebody asks them and then they just do it. But later on, they're resenting it because they're exhausted. So, you know, people know to ask hardworking people for help because they'll always help. You know, but there is a limit to energies and limit how much we can do. So that's something, think before you do. So we finally have some people that did press to talk to us. Good.
Oh,
very good.
Look at that. You know why? Because I opened up my mouth. That's why. I probably said something that pissed somebody else off, and now they want to talk to me and say, like, hey.
What do you mean?
That's
I can't
right.
help that we don't mind it. We don't mind it.
Yeah,
okay.
That's one thing about me. Somebody's actually one of the guys at work, one of the attorneys that I work with at work. You know, it's funny because you don't imagine attorneys to have it like this kind of sense of humor that he has. And he's truly one of the funniest people that I have encountered, you know, while at this job and everything, and even maybe outside of the job. But, you know, we're always like taking little digs at one another, you know, like I'll say something off color to him and we all know I know how to dish it and, you know, and he'll throw it back at me or whatever. And like one day, like he said something just like where we all just kind of stopped and went, oh, burn. Like I completely got burned, you know? And then he's like, well, I could say that to Nikki. And then he goes, I don't think I could handle saying that to any one of you. And they were like, well, why not? And they were like, because Nikki gives it as good as she gets it. That's why. So I don't mind when people want to talk to me after I open up my mouth because it just means that I have to get it as much as I can give it.
Wow. That's so funny. You're so funny.
Yeah. But all right. So, because we've been chatting and everybody pressed the number one after I started to speak. So, of course, now our second caller is going to go unscreened. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the number that I know first, and then we're going to screen the second one. So first, we are going to have the lovely, the gorgeous, the intelligent Miss Karen.
Okay, good.
Hello, Karen. You are on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hello, Karen. How's our
Hi, guys,
favorite girl?
Yes. You know what? I love the conversation tonight, so I pressed one because – I go through the same thing. I always want to help too, and I've really cut back. And I have a friend that we told her months ago she was going down the wrong path and she needed help. She didn't get any help and she had a stroke.
Oh,
and
boy.
Everybody is trying to do all these things for her, taking over things while she's trying to get better. Luckily, she's getting better. But I don't want to do those things. I feel like she wouldn't do them for me, and we gave her advice. She needs to fix her own problems. And your head is in my head all the time saying that. So when you said that, I was laughing. I said, I'm always thinking that.
Well, and that's why I say it over and over again, because I have to undo the brainwashing of thousands of years of dogmatic religion telling us to be there for everybody, help, 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 okay?
Yeah.
It's in our nature to do that, and yet we're back on earth because we keep helping people we shouldn't, because we're the fixers, because we're the crap takers,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to get people to realize you're not getting brownie points. If a person isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, then you're not supposed to be doing all of that. And if God wanted you to do it, you'd be a gazillionaire. You wouldn't have to work, and you'd have all the time and money to do this. And
right.
since that's not the case, then it's not your job to do it. And so I'm glad that you've
better.
Learned.
I'm not doing the wrong thing then. I'm doing the right thing. She has to fix herself. Because I keep saying
she
I can't
fix herself.
She has to
exactly.
fix herself. I keep thinking that.
And just know that you know, you're a person who's learning a lot. Maybe 5 years ago, you would have just helped her without even thinking.
Yes.
Right.
I would have been out there every day helping her, and she lives far, and, you know, she has a family, and there's not, what else can I do? Like, I feel bad. Her daughter's my goddaughter, but she has an ex-husband there, and, you know, I feel like we warned her months ago this was going to happen to her.
Right. And again, you know, this thing about things is sometimes people get strokes and they haven't done anything wrong or whatever. And then, of course, people can help us. But if, you know, sometimes people just, and I'm not saying with your friend, but a lot of times people are just abusing drugs, abusing everything. And then they get a stroke and it's like, well, you didn't do anything to help yourself. And now you're in this mess and we have to clean it up. Like,
right.
Older souls tend to take very good care of themselves because they don't want to be a burden. They don't want people to have to take care of them. They don't want to be that way. So they, you know, so they modify their behaviors. They don't do everything just because they feel like it. They realize that, you know, they have to stop. But it's hard because you probably felt a little guilty saying no once in a while.
Yeah.
But and that's why I said that guilt is like unearned guilt that's in older souls all the time. And sometimes we just have to say no despite guilt. It will be processed. It goes away. I mean,
right.
did you notice it started to go away?
Yeah, no, it definitely did. And I know I keep telling everybody else she needs to fix herself. So they laugh at me that I'm the cold Irish. So I said I haven't been called that in a long time. I said, but I can be. There's certain things that I have.
What did they call you? What did they call you?
The cold Irish. The cold Irish.
The cold virus?
No, Irish.
Iris. Well,
no,
isn't
Iris?
It funny how they call us names when we say no? That, you know,
well, my friends, they laughed at it. Yeah. Cause
they used to control me. People would, you know, if they ever said, oh, you're being selfish, I'd say, oh, my God, I could never be selfish. Oh, my God, I can't. And then I'd do whatever they want. And I realized, no, I wasn't being selfish. I was asserting self-love, you know, and saying no. But using the word selfish would make me go, oh, re-examine and then help them.
Right.
And
I haven't talked to her or her friends in a couple of weeks now since I haven't. And no one's called me. And I said, that makes me feel better, too. No one's called me, so I'm, you know, if they want help, they'll ask for it. I'm not volunteering it.
Right. And, again, we have to learn this because otherwise we keep bailing everybody out, helping everybody, saving everybody. And after a while, we were saying before, God will take from us, so we have nothing left to give. If you have to nuke our house in a hurricane, now you have nothing to give. We have to make you sick. You're too sick to help. Don't make
right.
God take from us to make us stop doing what we're not supposed to do. And again, you know, you say, I wish I could, but I can't. I'm
right.
sorry. You know, and maybe they're not going to like us. Maybe they're not going to want us in their life, but that's, you know, it's, you know, what have you done for me lately?
Right. And I never would ask anybody to do any of that stuff for me. Like, I just feel like it's not my place. And, you know, if she needs something and I can help her, I would. But if I'm not volunteering to do it.
No. And also, it's funny because you know, older souls never like to ask for help. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what happens, they really don't like. And sometimes God forces us and will make us sick or take our money. So we do have to ask for help, like with our first listener.
Right.
And then we get to see who people really are, because there's nobody there for us. We go, what? I can't believe this. Like, where are the people after all these people I help? And then you realize you're surrounded by takers.
Right.
Okay, and when your life changes after that and you're involved with givers, you'd be surprised how many times people step in and want to give to you. I mean, I saw when I produced my play, Andrew and Jean and everybody stepped out of the woodworks of my client, Bridget, just to help. What can we do to help? People came to see it. They came, they bought tickets. They helped me, and it was hard for me to ask people to come to the show or help me. But everybody did. Nicole showed up. Everybody came. And it was like one of those lessons in asking for help and knowing that people were there for me. And I was very, very, very touched and happy by that. So sometimes life changes. But I know if I had put that play on 20 years before, I would have had all the takers. So
right.
It's like, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this deal? You know? So just know that asking for help is also part of our lesson. And sometimes being able to say, no, I'm too tired or I don't have it to give is important. And I'm glad you're learning. Is your life feeling more peaceful now and happy?
Yes, I feel so much more peaceful, yes.
And the truth is,
and everything's good. Yeah, no, and everything's pretty good.
And, you know, and it's funny because once you learn these lessons, God does stop bringing the takers into your life. They really stop coming. And, you know, this friend, by the way, who you're not helping, may end up not liking you very much after this.
Right.
So be it. You know, your intention in doing this is, you know, self-love, self-preservation. You know, you're a single mom. You got a lot on your plate. You know, and has this person ever offered to help you?
You know, we were both single at the same time. We both wanted a divorce at the same time. We have kids at the same time. You know, we were very close for a while. It's just the last 2 years I don't approve of her lifestyle. And she is drinking too much, and I didn't want to be around it or my son around it. So I've backed away the last 2 years.
Well, people have to understand what you're saying, drinking too much. People are getting a lot of strokes in their 30s, 40s, and 50s from drinking to get drunk.
Yeah.
From drug. I mean, there's a point where people have to do things in moderation. And if you're going to be doing that, then you're going to have health consequences.
And her dad died last year, and I kept telling her about, you know, like, you know, he wouldn't want to see you like this, and you have to do this. And I know she had a hard time dealing with that death, and I tried to help her from my experience. And she, you know, wouldn't take any advice, and she just didn't, she didn't handle the death well at all.
And sometimes, you know, stroke is people literally blow their brains out. Sometimes they don't want to be here because it's painful. They've lost somebody they loved. So they do things. We've got to also learn how to mourn for people. And if you're drinking, then you're not doing the mourning process. And life is hard. The bottom line is life is hard for everybody. But drinking and getting stoned and drugs is not the answer. It only makes things worse in the long run. You know, it might feel temporarily better, but it's not really an answer. And I'm glad you called it. You know, you mentioned how you just went through something where you heard me saying that to you, because that's my job, to be like that little other voice in your head, like where you're hearing, oh, I should help. I should be a good Christian. I should do it. And the other voice saying, is this yours to clean up your mess or not? Okay.
It's so true, though. I do appreciate it, though, because it does help. It does like put things in perspective. And you know, I have to take care of myself first, and that's it. I've finally put myself first after all these years.
Oh, exactly. Well, I'm so glad you shared that with us, and keep us always, you know, keep listening, because it is helping you. I could see that.
Yes, it has. All right, guys, thank you so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome. Good night. All right, dear. So we did have someone else, and
yes,
Lisa, you said an update.
Yes. Now, for our listeners, everybody,
as being the one whose wife left and ghosted her. And now recently, Cindy, she had a reading with you. And obviously, because she had to deliver a little bit of tough love on that front, you know, she was a little bit kind of down in the dumps about what she heard. Rightfully so, because it's a painful experience to go through. However, she kind of made a promise to herself and kind of said that, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to listen to Cindy. It was what Cindy had to say, even though I don't like it. It's going to be a new me going forward. And she had this little, like, keepsake that she used to use to kind of wish for her wife to come back, which you said was a slim to none possibility at this point. So what she did was she got rid of this little keepsake. But the day she decided to do it, guess what? All of a sudden, she gets her wedding song radio. So now she started second-guessing things, and she started saying, am I doing the right thing? Is this a sign, or what exactly does this mean? So, Lisa, my dear, would like a little bit of clarification on what it is that you read. Now, I have my own theory on this, which I gave to her, and, you know.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners the theory, because I think your theory is probably what I would say at this point, but I like to hear your theory, too.
Okay. Well, my theory was this. Now, I have gone through something similar in my own toxic relationships. So one of the things that you helped me with, and one of the things that I learned, was that it's not enough just give up the physical. You have to make the mental shift. So what I said, obviously, that you would know better than I do, but what I had said was that, you know what, now that you're choosing to turn this leaf over, you know, you have to put your mind in the place where your mind is also letting go, because your mind is stronger than pretty much your body, you know. So what I said that, you know, by that song coming on after she decided to make this change, was that was a reminder that the mental disconnect needs to happen as well as the physical, you know, and that it's a matter of her not only getting rid of the things that will remind her, but it's a matter of cleansing her brain and her thoughts as well, so that the universe can say, okay, fine, now you're doing the work. Now you're mentally doing the work and know when to bring somebody else into your life. Know when you are healed enough to bring you another soulmate. But as long as it's only attached to the physical, but mentally you're still kind of in that space, you're not going to get anybody new, and you're going to be stuck.
Right, exactly. And I would also tell her that, you know, her wife's soul came to her at that moment to love her, because souls love, the part of her wife's soul is beautiful, and but it's her ego that's highly flawed. So, again, it's like soulmates are very telepathic, and her wife's soul sensed that she was cutting free. And the soul came
like
to
a
love
little goodbye.
Her. And that the soul still loves her. But, again, I always tell people we don't stop loving our soulmates, but we sometimes have to love them like a dead person. We can love them with our hearts and minds, but our bodies just can't be with them.
Yep,
so,
I would fully agree with that.
Because that's the part that's flawed, the body and the ego. And so I would say that, you know, her lover did hear her, you know, cutting loose and letting go. And it was confirmation that they are soulmates and that, but it's not confirmation to me that the woman's coming back. Okay. So so we might want to put her on so we can hear how she feels or what she has to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hello, Lisa. You are on the air.
Thank you, Nicole. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, dear.
Hi.
So are you feeling any peace inside after doing all
this?
Yeah,
you know, I am. But then the next day after that, then the news came on with Mariah Carey coming out with her bipolar. But what was weird, I turned on the TV and my whole screen said bipolar disorder. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, why is this right in front of my face
now? Okay, now her soul is telling you, why isn't she with you? It's because of her bipolar, her unhealed issues. Her soul is making an explanation to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but it's not. And again, you know, souls will continue to commune telepathically, just as if she died, she would be giving you messages like this, by the way. But she isn't dead. And it's almost like you have a right to resent her because, like, if you have something to say, you call me on the phone.
Yeah.
You don't give me telepathic messages like you died, okay? Because this is not helping me anymore. So you know, realize that her soul is coming to you and is trying to communicate to you. And, you know, meanwhile, you can tell her soul, if you have something to say, you can call me on the phone or talk to me, but I would appreciate no more telepathic messages.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's really going to make it just harder for you to let go.
Yeah.
And what I see is another soulmate being brought in alignment for you. I mean, you have a lot of love to give. You're a good catch. You're a good person. And the universe would love to bring you that soulmate. But this has to be closed because, what happens is souls are very telepathic, like we were just saying. So you can imagine that your ex-wife will get the message that you're being brought, that a soulmate's come to you. And then she could contact you on the earth plane and sabotage that whole relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So what the universe is trying to tell you is they would not bring you another soulmate if they thought she was coming around anytime soon. And, you know, you have a child. He needs to see a better version of love than what he's seen.
Right.
And they would like that to be brought to you.
Yeah.
But you realize that
okay.
she could sabotage your soulmate relationship if she came back just when you met somebody and told you everything you wanted to hear?
Yeah. I guess, you know, part of me with my rose-colored glasses, I thought maybe she would see, like, the news about, you know, Mariah Carey's situation, and it's a stigma, and she doesn't have to have that stigma that she has a mental illness, and it's okay, and together, you know, she doesn't have to be alone.
And again, you're still thinking you're going to fix her. But it's
not just her bipolar.
She's a narcissist. She's a manipulator. She's not accountable for behavior.
Yeah.
She's judgmental. I mean, it's not just her mental illness. She's got a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's not you. She doesn't, you think everybody will get it, you know.
Right. Okay.
But overwhelming majority of people, 7 out of 10, will not be fixed in this lifetime. They probably won't be fixed in 40 lifetimes. So it's, her soul has actually been kind enough to sort of love you enough to leave you. Because she was only going to hurt you. She was only going to hurt you. Because she is a hurtful person.
Right.
You know, hurt people hurt others. I mean, she's got a lot of hurt. Bipolar, can not just be biochemical, it can also be unhealed, lots of unhealed issues that maybe she just doesn't want to heal in this lifetime.
Right.
And, of course, soulmate love brings up those unhealed issues, and that's what terrifies her. And, you know, she kind of thought she was fine until you came into her life. No, she wasn't. You know that, and I know that.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, letting go is a process. It's not that easy to, move forward. You can have better days and worse days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, it's just, some days will be better than others. That's all, And,
okay.
Just if you have a good day, enjoy it. If you have a bad day, well, feel whatever feeling. You're mourning for the ending of a soulmate relationship, which is like mourning a death.
Okay. Yeah.
Somebody died, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And you keep trying to figure out why can't she wake up and, I would tell you, why can't the world wake up? Why is 9 out of 10 love songs about the love that got away?
Right.
Because so many people have been experiencing the same thing. They just, higher love demands healing. A lot of people just won't heal.
Right. Okay.
And you'll probably continue to get some signs for a little bit. But look at it as, it's just closure now. We're trying to get closure on this.
Okay.
And part of why your soul can't rest is you never got really an adequate explanation as to why you're not together.
Right.
I mean, she didn't say to you, I love you, you're the love of my life, but I'm all screwed up.
Because I thought maybe, because she had said it at one point that I deserve so much better than her. So I thought she was leaving me because she knew I would never leave her.
Right, and that's exactly it.
Yeah.
Exactly it. And she also knows that she's not a person who, is going to heal her issues.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't want to work that hard.
Okay.
It is a lot of healing that she has to do.
Right. Okay.
Your son would like nothing more than to see you happy. Do you know that?
I know that. Every time he sees me, he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And I smile. I'm like, yes. You know, we laugh. We have fun.
But
my other situation got resolved with the renovation. That worked out beautifully.
Okay.
So that's a positive thing. You know, so, you know.
Sometimes you can make things have a positive. You see, but that was with family members that didn't want to cut you out, really. They wanted to work on it, too, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you have somebody who doesn't want to work on something, you know, you can't fix it if they're not going to do it. I mean, the problem with someone like her, she's a commitment phobic. She's afraid of love because it means healing. And she didn't let you go in an arena to fight for her. That's what's so frustrating.
Mm.
She just closed the door and then what?
Yeah.
You know, what about me? Don't I have a say in this? And
right.
No. And because she won't even communicate or talk to you, it's so hard. It's so very hard.
Right.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, you're a person that certainly got a lot of good things coming your way, by the way.
Okay.
So, you know, hang in there and
all right.
Know that you have a lot of love to give.
Okay.
And,
I'm a little afraid though.
What are you afraid of?
Well, I'm afraid to get another person like that. But then again, hopefully I learn my lesson and I will see the signs.
Right. And
yes.
Oh, yes, you will see the signs. And
yes.
Again, you probably need a little more time to heal before this can be brought to you.
Right.
And but know that when you meet this other soulmate, if you know, if God really thought she was going to heal and come around, he would not bring you another soulmate.
Okay.
And you're not responsible for the ending of this relationship. She is.
Mhm.
Okay,
did she know that?
Yeah, she's the one who ended it and didn't give you a chance to fight or anything. So
right.
Not the one. You've tried.
Yeah.
You've tried. You've done everything and anything you could to see if this could work. So, no, you're not responsible for it at all. So I hope that makes you feel better.
Yeah, no, I knew that, but I just wanted to know because I know, like, you know, she rationalizes in a different way to make herself look better. She doesn't take responsibility, so I thought she was blaming me, you know.
Well, I think, you know, she may blame you to other people, but in her heart of hearts, she knows it's her.
Okay, right.
Yeah, she's got a big ego. She's got a really big ego, this woman.
Yes, yes.
You've been
but I wanted
that.
To say thank you because your first reading, the first phone call you had was wonderful. It was very, it was happy. It was, you know, things you were saying were like, oh, I understand that now. So thank you for sharing that with all of us. I really appreciate it.
Well, that's why I always tell people listen because you're going to hear somebody who, you know, she's trying to figure out why am I not getting a job? Like, what's going on here? And, you know, when you say the things that are truth, you can hear that it resonates as truth, even if it's not what you hear all the time. But it rings true. And even when I tried to do your reading with you, I didn't want to deliver the truth that, you know, the harsh truth that this woman is not going to heal, doesn't look like in this lifetime. That's a harsh truth.
Mm-hmm.
But in hearing the truth, it sets us free to move on.
Right.
And to say, I've done all I can. And, you know, you can pray for the inevitable reunion of your souls in this lifetime, in spirit, or in any other lifetime. And, you know, see what that prayer does, because it's not over. It's not like you're never going to see her again or be with her again. It's just maybe not in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Or life is long. Who knows what happens 20 years from now?
Right.
You know,
but
right now at this particular time,
right,
is where she has not done her inner healing and her homework.
Right.
She just isn't. She's just trying to dodge the bullet and not heal her issues. And when people just, you know, make a decision not to heal their issues, there's not much we can do about that.
That's true.
You know, and, you know, you don't have to stop loving her. You just have to realize that, you know, you have to make space for someone who wants to love you the way you want to be loved and the way you want to love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we
okay.
are at the end of our
Thank
show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Lisa, call in again. We always love to
okay.
hear from you.
Thank you so much. Have
night
a good
now.
Night.
You too.
Good night.
Okay, Nicole, we're at the end of our show. I want to thank you so much for all your help tonight. We had an interesting array, and I love the confirmation from the other listeners that they learned something from the first caller, because I always try to tell people, don't hang up just because we've read you or not going to get to you, because you never know. There might be a message hidden in there.
Exactly. There's always messages for you. There's always messages.
There's always messages. And again, at what we teach, we have to learn as well half the time. And God will keep challenging us on what we know to be truth. And sometimes it just takes a little bit of reminding, you know, what's the right thing to do. And, you know, we try to teach our listeners self-love. Love yourself a little bit. Stop being martyrs. You know, it's like, you still get brownie points for being martyrs. Sorry.
No, not really.
No.
We tried that route before. It doesn't work very well.
Yeah, no, it didn't work. Mm-mm. Just all it did was leave me bankrupt, you know, in every way. So, you know, I put crosses down that are not mine to carry, thank you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
No, I'll carry my cross, but I can't carry everybody's anymore. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll all speak next week. Have a very happy weekend. By then, I hope we have spring. I'd like to see
maybe.
Spring.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. We'll see. I know. Well, good night, everybody.
Listen, I said I was embracing it. I didn't say I wanted to rush it. And good night, Cindy. As usual, you did a wonderful job, and we'll speak to everybody next week. Thanks for joining us, guys.